Welcome, friends, to the Life on Purpose podcast. I'm so excited to start my third season with you. This year, we are focusing on the word confidence, how to get more of it, and where we are currently seeking it. The goal is to bring you some incredible conversations that will provide you with newfound wisdom, guidance, and resources. And on this third season of Life on Purpose podcast, we want to keep you inspired and remind you that everything you are looking for is on the other side of fear. It is my privilege, as always, to be a part of your journey to living with courage, hope, and confidence this year. In the beginning, we all know to living with confidence starts with recognizing what is keeping us stuck. And for a fun, quick way to get started, hop over to my website at amydebrick.com and take my quiz, Are You Stuck in Your Comfort Zone? You can also access other free resources while you're there or grab a copy of my book, Embolden. Enjoy. Well, good morning. This morning on the Life on Purpose podcast, I'm excited to reconnect with my friend, Cheryl Gould. Cheryl is a podcaster, author, and most importantly, I feel like parent educator because gosh, Cheryl, we just, as parents, I feel like constantly need to be learning and growing like our kids. So welcome to the podcast this morning.
Oh, Amy, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, it's always great to connect with you because you have so much just wisdom and resources. And also, I think you, one of the things that I really love about the fact that you are a parent educator is you do have that element of grace to it. So it's not like one or the other. I think, at least for me, I see a lot of parents one or the other. It's like they're either showing, I don't want to say too much grace, but there's a lot of leniency, or the boundaries are so tight that there's, you know, rebellion from in that direction. But I think you do a beautiful job of kind of tying the two together, so to speak. So I want you to actually, if you want to get started on communication, which I think is just so difficult at this age. I mean, you know, I think too, and this is my experience, more so with maybe boys than girls, but not always. So I'd love for you to kind of dive into that a little bit on, you know, communication, what your experience has been, and also kind of what started your journey to be a parent educator.
Okay, wonderful. I love, love, love talking about all this stuff. It's like my, you know, my jam. So I'm excited. So first, I'll just start basically by sharing a little bit of my personal story, because I think that weaves really nicely in with communicating and specifically having the platform more for moms geared towards tweens and teens, although a lot of what I share applies to younger kids as well. But I really got involved in, I will say, personal growth and growing myself because I was struggling with my oldest when she was a tween. And she's now 31. And when she hit the tween years, so much changes. It's like what we had control over, or what we at least the illusion of control, we know, I hope you can't hear the vacuum cleaner in the back, can you?
But I'm impressed, but no, I cannot hear it.
The cleaning gals here are getting all ready for Christmas. And I know this is going to go live after that, but the vacuum cleaner is going. Anyway, glad you can't hear it. So my tween, she all of a sudden started expressing all this anger, and she started talking back, and she was struggling with some depression. She didn't want to go to school. And so I was like, I'm going to fix her. You know, I just was, and of course we need to get our kids support when they need support. Yeah. However, I got her into counseling, and what I realized through that process is it was really me that needed the support, because the way that I was communicating with her was, it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And it was actually creating more of the very thing that I didn't want. And being a Christ follower, it was, you know, I just see I had a lot of these rules in my head of the way things should go. Like if I send my kid to a Christian school, which is my kids went to a Christian school up until eighth grade, I thought, I'm not going to have these issues. This isn't going to happen to me where my kid's talking back and arguing and disagreeing. And then all of a sudden that was happening. And so I was fighting with her. I was arguing with her. So what ended up happening is I said, I'm going to get support for myself. And I started meeting with a Christian therapist and she said, I think you would be great in this mom's group that I lead. And so I joined this mom's group and it was so healing. It was so incredibly healing. And I remember the first one I went to, I cried through the whole thing because these moms were sharing vulnerably the struggles they were going through. And I didn't let people in. I mean, I was just trying to hold it all together, trying to be that perfect mom, putting so much pressure on myself and my kids. So it really brought this element of, I guess, humility, being more open, thinking to myself, you know, I've never done this before. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have this all figured out. And so out of that, then the therapy practice said, would you like to start another group here? And so I went through all this training and started a group with another mom. So, and it ended up snowballing that moms that had tweens and teens, there isn't a lot of support. We tend to get where we feel like I can't share this challenge or struggle because it might get back to my kid or a mom might judge me. And so we're not sharing our hearts and we're not sharing our challenges and struggles. So it just started to grow and grow. And I live in Chicago and I had one group and then another. So I thought, well, I'll start a website. And so then I started Moms of Tweens and Teens website and then it just blew up. So, and just really grew because there was such a need. So anyway, that's a little bit about my own story and how I started. So I'll pause there and then I can add more, you know, let you talk.
Well, Cheryl, I mean, that's just amazing to me. I mean, I think the default was your normal first reaction. I mean, right. That's what we all, as parents, you know, our kids start changing. We, you know, take that, you know, now they're getting to that age and hormones and all that are settling it, which is true. But we, you know, until you had said that, other than learning how to communicate a little bit better, I would have never even considered it that, you know, until you're talking about it, like, well, maybe I'm the one who needs to learn to communicate better with them. And so that's just such a powerful thing, I think, and a really brave step to take. To own that and really take it a step further and really work on it and make it something, you know, just such a powerful resource and knowing that this is a good thing. This is really okay to do and not be so fearful of, it is hard. I, when you're talking, Cheryl, I was totally relating, you know, I didn't go to a support group, but I identified as that same person who really was reluctant to lay out my vulnerabilities. And it is very humbling and it is very healing when you're able to do that. But, you know, pride can really get in the way of that. And I think it can also get in the way, almost kind of what you're saying, when we're communicating with our kids, thinking that, you know, we have it all figured out, not figured out in the answers, but, you know, they should really be following our lead with communication. But if we're not doing it properly, then that's going to be a problem, which is really kind of what it seemed like you experienced. So I love that. I think that that's a really brave step. And I love showcasing brave things that we can do at any age. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, I do too. That's why I love your word embolden and your book when I interviewed you. Yeah, it does take courage to look at ourselves and I think out of that, then we can bring that vulnerability to others that so much need to hear that, you know, need to know that they're not alone.
Right.
Yeah. So it does take courage and it's also so exciting. Like, I just feel like once I start taking those steps and learning how to communicate, it really changed and healed my family in so many ways. And I just felt like God was smiling, you know, like, you go, girl, you right. work on this, you know, because if we don't know how to communicate, and that's kind of my first point, like I was putting together like five kind of key things that I learned. And the first one is to become more self-aware ourselves. Mm. And what I had to do is kind of understand some of those messages I got growing up that were impacting how I was viewing my daughter. And I'll give like an example of one of the big ones is do not be angry. Like anger is a bad emotion. So here she wasn't feeling like I was hearing her. And I was just wanting to shut that anger down. Mm-hmm. So I was seeing it as disrespect, go to your room, don't talk to me that way. And the missing piece is that there were things that she was feeling that she needed to talk about. And yet I didn't have the tools at the time. I was more just like anger's bad, go to your room versus like, hey, you know, what's going on? You're angry. And you know, what's going on? That's causing you to be angry. And so the more that I was trying to shut her anger down, then the bigger the anger became. And then we were fighting about it. So that was like one of my beliefs. And I had to say, no, anger is not a bad emotion. It is calling, you know, it's speaking something that we need to listen to, that something is wrong, or we're wanting something, or we're needing something. It's just that she did not have the tools. And this is to your listeners that have kids, that they lack the tools to know how to express their anger in appropriate ways. So I didn't have the tools. So how could I give her those tools? So it ended up, I was like, oh yeah, I think I'm angry about a lot of things. You know, I'm off crying and praying, but you know, like I really have a lot of resentment and anger.
Right.
And so I had to become aware of that and give that attention and pay attention to where didn't I even have the boundaries. A lot of my anger was also because it was that tension you were speaking to in the beginning of where do I set down some boundaries for myself? I mean, it's for our kids too, but it really starts with us setting boundaries for ourselves. Sure. And not, you know, I didn't have good boundaries. So I was being controlling and punitive. But on the other hand, then I would cave in. So I was doing both. And so I really had to get clear on that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's such a good point, because that's typically, I think, what happens a lot of the time is that we, you know, get in these situations. Like I think every parent, moms, but every parent really that's listening can relate to that anger. And I love how you kind of point that out. Our first reaction is to view it as disrespect, and we're not going to tolerate that. I mean, those are words that have been used irregularly. But sometimes we forget to take the pause to say, to scratch the surface beyond that anger. And what is it really coming from? Sometimes it's obvious, but most times I feel like at these ages, it's not. And if we don't take the pause and kind of dig a little bit deeper, not saying that every conversation is going to be a successful one, but just the intentionality behind it, I think that even can show our children that, okay, you know, they're interested, they care. It's not just about, you know, me arguing with her and her arguing with me. And I mean, because it becomes, like you said, and I love that. What happens was when you don't really get to the root of it, it just continues to become this bigger and bigger issue, because the resentment is building up and people are frustrated. And those are all normal and natural feelings, but so important. And I love that, to just really stop and instead of the first reaction to be more of a defense mechanism or a shutdown is to just ask, hey, what's going on here? It's so simple, Cheryl, but you know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate when you're in a moment, if you know, in the busyness of life, or you're not in the mood, you know, it's easier or it feels easier. It's not easier in the long run, but it's easier in that moment to just shut it down.
Yeah. Because absolutely. And because oftentimes we're dealing with our own reactivity.
Right.
And, you know, just thinking, yeah, I just got to shut this down because I really don't know how to deal with it. We don't have the tools on where do I go with this? So
I think that's a great point. I think that's a great point. And that's why I love the resources that you offer is because I don't think a lot of times we do know where to go with it.
Yeah. I think we can say, okay, don't say this as a parent, but what do we say instead? And I love the question that you ask, like, hey, okay, you're angry. What's going on? You know, and being more curious than just wanting to shut it down. And like you said, we're not always going to do it perfectly. But I think it's also important to tell our kids, you know what, I'm learning right along with you.
Right.
And I don't always handle my anger appropriately. So I'm learning too, versus I've got it all figured out and you're down here and you better do what I say.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, I 100% agree with you. I think one of the best breakthrough moments that I've had with my children, you know, all independently at different times is when I am able to be in a space to be that vulnerable with them and say, listen, I'm doing the best that I can here. I know that I'm not handling or reacting, you know, great in every situation or, you know, when you want me to, or whatever the case may be. And I think those are always the moments where we have the best discussions, where they can identify their part in it. You know, whether they're being a little bit too demanding or irrational or spoiled acting or whatever the case may be, or, and the other layers that are with that, you know, what is the frustration going on? Maybe it's an issue at school with a girlfriend. Maybe it's missing siblings. Maybe it's whatever the case is. And so I think the more we can have those vulnerable moments, then they're going to be more willing to have vulnerable moments with us. At least that's been my experience here.
Yeah, it's been my experience too. And they feel safer.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because I feel like it's like a more of an open-armed conversation rather than, like you said, I'm up here, you're down here. This is what I expect. And if you don't do it, you know, then there's going to be a discipline or a consequence or whatever. Not that to say that rules have to be followed and boundaries have to be made. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I think it does level the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, we want to start with that. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have consequences for disrespectful behavior. That's kind of a whole nother thing, but we need to set that foundation of how can I be a safe place.
Right, right.
And well, then
go on with the other ones.
Well, I'll kind of clip through them kind of fast so we can get, you know. Well, number two, and this is mostly dealing with tweens and teens, is we have to understand where they're coming from developmentally. I think it's even powerful when we do it with our younger kids, because I have two grandchildren. My oldest grandchild is 6. It's amazing when you understand more of the development that they go through, why they act the way they do. It's like, oh, you know, you think of the twos and how those terrible twos and how they're developing their own voice. And so they're talking back all of a sudden. So it just helps to understand that so you can make sense of it. So you're not taking it so personally or panicking, because we tend to go, oh, you know, oh my gosh, they're acting like this and this is the end of the world, right?
Right.
So understand that when your kids hit, and it can start at different times, depending upon, you know, girls, boys, but usually in middle school where they really want to belong. That is such a longing, and they're trying to figure out where they fit in with the crowd. So all of a sudden they start trying on these different behaviors and you're thinking, who is this kid? I remember my youngest going to the grocery store with her And she saw some boys, and she was probably like, I don't know, sixth, seventh grade. And she, and I had makeup on, I was dressed cute. And she like literally ran down the aisle and around the corner. And I was like, what? And she didn't want to be seen with me. Yeah. And it was because she was at that age and she was the baby, and she was home alone because her siblings are older and they had left the nest. And so she didn't want to go out to dinner anymore with my husband and I and be seen with us. So we had to go like one town over. And it sounds ridiculous, but she came out of it. You know, it was like about a year and a half of that. So developmentally, they want to fit in, they want to belong, they're trying to figure out their sense of self apart from us. So that's why they're going to push back and argue.
Right.
So you might be like, I remember even around, you know, faith stuff, they were like, I don't want to go to church anymore, or I don't believe that, or, and I would panic, versus they're just trying to figure out and their faith apart from us and, you know, and have their own process in that so that they can own it. So a lot is happening with the adolescent brain. So just understanding where they are developmentally. And then number three is all, we kind of touched on this, all behavior is communication. So to be, just be curious about what's going on underneath, whatever it is. If they're not doing right now, homework is huge. Like I'm hearing from so many moms, their kids are barely passing. They're missing a lot of assignments. Like this is like an earthquake, you know, COVID, and there's still aftershocks from that. And so just knowing like they're struggling, they're having a hard time. It's not, they're doing this on purpose. We tend to focus more on the problem versus what's the behavior, you know, or focus on the problem or the behavior versus what is it they're needing right now?
Right.
You know, what's really going on. And then number four is be a plant. And I love that. That's from Lisa Damore. And we tend to offer advice. We tend to talk too much. We want to fix things for our kids. We jump in there and we get in all their business and all their stuff, and we're trying to control things. And so I love how she just says, be a plant and like just show up. And I always say the 80-20 rule. So listen 80% and talk 20. If you can just do that and go, really? Oh, rather than, well, if you only studied for that test, or, you know, you need to do this or you need to do that. We're telling, telling, telling. And it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. It's like, rah, 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 rah. And they're going to fight with us. They're going to push back because developmentally they're trying to separate from us and they need space and they don't want to be heard. You know, don't want to hear what to do. So that's where it's helpful to ask open-ended questions. Like, what do you think you need to do about that? Or how might I support you? Or do you even want my help? So we don't even ask that because we really don't want to hear the answer.
You're so true. That's so true, Cheryl. But I need to work on being a plant more. I think the transition of my kids leaving, three of out of the four moving out of the house, you know, even if it's just temporarily, I don't think they're all gone for good, but has helped just location wise me be more of a plant for those three. It's difficult, isn't it? It's not an easy thing to just all of a sudden, it feels hands off. It's not, it feels hands off, but I think the listening component is key. And I love the 80-20, you know, I do 80-20 with a lot of other things, like, you know, your health and fitness and all of that. And even just trying to like my daily routine of what I consider to be a priority. And, you know, if I'm doing this 80% of the time, you know, just as a goal. And I think that's a wonderful goal to have with parenting. And I've never heard that before. I've heard the be a plant, but the 80-20, I think is really powerful. And if we can just kind of be a listener 80% of the time, gosh, I do think that that would really be a significant change, even without us, you know, seeing what that was going to look like. You know, I can only imagine, but I love that. I think that that is so good, Cheryl.
Oh, yeah. It really is. And to your point, I think it feels like we're neglecting or something, or we're not doing enough. We're supposed to do more, because if we're not, then we're not good moms.
Right.
Versus seeing it that at this age, our kids need to take more ownership. Mm. And so when we're listening more, we're believing in them. Because if we're always getting in there, we're sending this message that we don't believe they're capable and they always need our help. And so then it becomes this like learned helplessness, or that, you know, they'll take our help and it'll become this learned helplessness, or they're just going to be rebelling and arguing and fighting constantly. So you don't want either one of those to think we actually are doing something. We're really helping them to mature and to grow and to develop and to become more responsible versus us always telling them. But it's hard. It is. It's hard to let go. It's hard to get out of the way. And it never stops. Like you said, your kids are, you have three that are out of the house right now. And my 31-year-old called me the other day and she was telling me something about work and I was wanting to fix it so badly. And it was really bothering me. I'm like, okay, take your own advice. And then I said to her at the end, I said, well, I believe that you're going to figure it out. Mm. And she said, thank you, Mom. That's the best thing you could say to me. And I said, are you making fun of me? because my kids know what I do, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
No, that's really what I needed to hear. Mm. And that's what we want to convey to our kids. You know, I believe that you can figure this out versus me needing to get in there and run with this, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's so important, especially as they get older, the ownership, you know, piece. We want them to be responsible adults. We want them to be able to function with hard things and all of that stuff. And so even the faith piece to that, I love, because, you know, I actually experienced that just in for myself, transitioning from what I considered to be my parents' faith covering me into really developing my own. And so I think it goes with everything, is that at some point we kind of have to, you know, the young adult has to kind of take over and the parent has to kind of just back off enough where they have the ability to do that and to form those coping mechanisms and, you know, relationships and whatever it is to set them up for success. And so I think that that's just great. I love the whole thing. And before we wrap this conversation up, because I could talk to you all day. I feel like we could have a month long segment on parenting and communication, Cheryl, and your stuff is so good that I hope that anybody today that is listening, that has had any discouragement, any struggle with their child, regardless of age, I know we're kind of focusing on this adolescent age, feels encouraged to know, number one, that they're not alone. And number two, that there are things that we can do as parents and they can do as children to really have them be successful and have us have better relationship with them. But before we wrap up, I want you to talk about, because this is also really important, your new book that's going to be releasing called SOS. And it's a book on technology, which I think can be a huge hindrance in communicating because they're so consuming and so distracting. So can you just briefly give us a little, you know, summarize of what to expect when this book releases?
Yes. Well, it's a huge issue and it is such a struggle. I mean, we would all agree, especially with the pandemic too, with us kids having, you know, that's how they connect. And now, you know, I hear from a lot of moms that feel like their kids are addicted to gaming. And what do you do with all of that? So the feedback that I've been getting, and actually I had written the book, and it started as an ebook, and then it just grew and grew and grew and got bigger and bigger. And moms were reaching out to me more and more. And I interviewed a lot of moms for the book. And there's a lot of some of the things that tweens and teens have said about social media and what they want from their parents in the book. And so what really led me to write this book is, I think in all of it with technology, we tend to, you know, we tend to panic as parents. I know I do. And my son, he's 28 now. So he wasn't, gaming is totally a whole nother ball game now. I mean, sure. It's so much more insidious and intense. His friends came over to the house to game. Now they're gaming with kids all over the world and they have their headsets on. So it's how they're really connecting. But I wanted to write a book that was more relational and where we could understand where our kids are coming from with technology, how this has become their world that they live in, that is so foreign to us in many ways because we didn't grow up with it, yet we're on it a lot now as well. But how can we bridge that gap? And how can we actually talk to our kids in a way about their technology that's going to build a stronger relationship with them? So that is really my heart behind it. And when I wrote it and it came out, we didn't promote it too much, but I had a lot of schools that were reaching out to me because the book is not really long. It's not a super long book. I don't even know how I have it, how many pages it's going to end up being with the print and everything, but a publisher picked it up. And so now we're working on the cover design and all of that. But my hope is that parents will be able to enter into these conversations in a relational way where it's not just your kid's technology is the enemy.
Right.
Because what ends up happening is if we're against their technology constantly and we're fighting about it, they're not going to feel like they can talk to us when they're exposed to something that they shouldn't see, or when there's sexting going on, or, you know, all the different things that can happen. They're not going to feel the freedom to talk to us. So that's the big, theme of the book. And then I also give lots of conversation starters in there. So how can you talk to your kid about, you know, figuring out like, okay, what is an appropriate amount of time to be on your device? You know, how does social media make you feel? How do you feel when you're on Instagram? When you see, you know, the amount of likes you get, how does that, so you're dialoguing with your kid in a relational way where they're more apt to notice how they're feeling and with it, and so that they can become more responsible around it. So with my daughter, you know, a lot of that was, how is it making you feel? And when she could talk about that, then she's like, you know, I don't want to be on it as much because it's impacting how I perceive myself and how I feel about myself.
Yeah. Well, that's so true. I mean, the book, I think, is just going to be a huge hit. It's so needed right now. The title, as we were talking before we even begin recording, is just, you know, so relevant, SOS, because I feel like that's the state we're in kind of right now with electronics and what that looks like, technology just in general. And, you know, because now it's coming from, it's not just a video game. It's everywhere. It's on your phones and it's through Instagram and everything and every aspect. So I really appreciate you coming out with that resource. So keep us posted on that. But before we close up here, can you just have listeners, or give listeners a way to connect with you so they can stay on top of everything you have coming up?
Yes. Wonderful. Absolutely. The website is Moms of Tweens. Sometimes we flip it. tweensandteens.com is the website. And they can email me too, Cheryl@momsoftweensandteens.com if they have any questions. We have the Facebook page is super popular. I do a Facebook Live in there every Wednesday where I get so many emails now, I just can't personally answer them. So what I end up doing is I answer them in the Facebook Lives. And then we have a membership group and that opens a couple times a year. And then lots of resources are on MOTS University. So that's MOTTS university.com. And there's courses, but there's also lots of free resources as well.
That's great. Thank you so much, Cheryl. It was such a pleasure having you on. I would love to have another conversation when the book releases and give some more advice or hear some more of your advice and wisdom in these really important areas. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Amy. And one more thing, because you were on the podcast, I forgot to put a plug in, the Moms of Tweens and Teens podcast. And yes, they can listen to your interview too.
Yes. So,
yeah.
We'll have all the links for everybody and when this releases in 2022. And so, yeah, we'll be sure to put everything out there so people can connect with you. So thank you.
Thanks, Amy, for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, mine too.
Well, that's it for us today, friends. If today's episode or any other episode has left you feeling encouraged and inspired, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing to Life on Purpose with Amy Debrick from your favorite listening platform. The mission, as always, of Life on Purpose is to meet you where you are, but not leave you there, and let you know that although fear is normal, courage gets the final say. See you next time.